let's take a moment to think about what our Father is like. Let's not rush into the next part of the message. Let's just take a moment. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you are good, that you're great, that you're kind, that you're gracious, that you're merciful, that you're consistent, you're faithful. Mostly, thank you that you're loving. May we continue to explore the depths of who you are and discover more of what you're really like and enjoy you and enjoy being loved by you. And enjoy sharing that love with the world around us. Lord, I'd like to pray for all our junior and senior high students. Ice blast weekend this weekend, over 150 students up north. Fort Wilderness, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you'd work mightily among them, for all the leaders and workers that are up there serving as well. It'd be a powerful weekend of life change for them. Now we pray that you would speak to us as we turn to your word. Spirit of the living God, would you dispense to each person as each person has need. May we each hear specifically what you're saying to us today, and then corporately and collectively as a church. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Morning, everybody. Would you please think about a well-known person that you admire and respect deeply? And then imagine that they're going to come to your house and spend a couple days at your house. What would you do to get ready for a visitor like that? Often, when we have a guest speaker at our church, Janet and I will invite them to stay with us at our house. And we have a routine when someone stays with us that we do to get ready for an honored guest. And it includes a list of, you know, straightening and cleaning the house and changing all the sheets and pillowcases and all the beds and straightening the yard and cutting the grass. And it includes getting some fresh fruits and vegetables and some other kinds of food and drinks for our guests. Well, a couple months ago, Dan Allender and his wife were coming. Dan was going to speak on a weekend here. And the plan was that he'd speak on that Sunday and then stay for a couple days after and hang out with us at our house. And the only problem was that Janet wasn't going to be home. And that's not only a problem, that's a big problem. And so before she left for the camps, the refugee camps in North Africa, we had several training sessions equipping me on how to get everything ready for our honored guest. There were notes all different places in the house reminding me of things that had to be done before they came. And then she even left a note for them, which warmly welcomed them. I read it after they read it. And it also kind of apologized for the fact that I was the only one tending to them, and apologies for any things that were going to be missed with their visit. So it went okay, just for the record. But what I want you to think about is what you would do for an honored guest that came to your house. Now, Jesus was asked by a scribe, what was the most important commandment of all? And in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30, Jesus answered and said, the foremost of all, the most important, he said, I don't know if he said it like that, but he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. We've been looking deeper at what each of those might mean. The first week, we looked at what it might look like to love God with all of our heart. And then 2 weeks ago, Peter helped us think about what it might look like to love God with all of our soul. And then last week, Chris Schneider helped us think about what it might look like to love God with all of our mind. And today I want us to think about what it would look like to love God with all of our strength. Now, I'd like to propose that there's four different aspects, at least this is the way I'm breaking this down, four different aspects of loving God with all your strength. The first aspect is with our physical bodies. How do we love God or glorify God with our bodies? In Psalm 139, verses 13 through 15, David, writing a prayer to God, said this: "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Do you believe that about yourself? Could you write similar words like David wrote? Do you believe that God skillfully created you and crafted you while you were in your mother's womb? Do you believe that? Now, God in his vast wisdom and creativity has uniquely crafted every single person that's ever lived. He determined if you would be male or female. He determined if you'd be tall or short. He determined the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, the size of your nose, and the size of your ears. He decided to make you different than anybody else in the world. And he gave us a physical body. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, God is speaking through Paul and he tells us this: "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God?" Your body is from God, and that you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, because that's all true, glorify God in your body. Now, what does it mean to glorify God in your body? Now, this is written to believers. And if you're a Christ follower and you've been born of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's not true for non-believers. The non-believers do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But believers have the third person of the Trinity actually living inside of our bodies, and our bodies are a temple. Now, when you have an honored guest coming to your home, what do you do to prepare for that honored guest? What do you do to get the house ready for a special guest? And why do you get your house ready for such a guest? Well, because you want to honor them, because you want them to have an enjoyable experience. You want to bless them. It would be very dishonoring to a guest to have an unkept, messy house, dirty sheets, no food. That would just be plain dishonoring. So think about it. The Holy Spirit is a permanent house guest in our life and in our body. So how are you taking care of this house for this most honored house guest named the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to glorify God in our bodies? Well, among other things, I think it means taking care of our physical bodies, tending to it, eating right, getting proper amounts of exercise, right amounts of sleep, not too much or too little, and not doing anything to our bodies that would harm our bodies. There was a journal publication put out by Affinity Health recently, like a couple months ago, and it had an article in there called "Sitting Should Scare You." Sitting should scare you. And the article went on to say that sitting for more than 6 hours a day is as unhealthy for your body as smoking 25 cigarettes a day. I'm like, whoa, I need a new job. You know, I got an office job. That article went on to say that the World Health Organization estimates that up to 85% of the world's population leads a sedentary lifestyle. It went on to say, we now eat 31% more calories than we did 40 years ago, including 56% more fats and oils, 14% more sugars and sweeteners, and that the obesity rate in adults in 1980 was 15%, and now 35 years later it's 35%, which is more than doubled. The article went on to say that children watch an average of 7.5 hours of television a day. And then you put on top of that, other forms of social media contributes to great amounts of inactivity, which is simply not physically healthy for children or for adults. On top of whatever we're putting into our minds that's unhealthy in our minds, it's also very unhealthy for our bodies. About a month and a half ago, on a Monday, I put in about a 15-hour day. And I was so busy during that day that I skipped lunch and I skipped dinner, and I, somewhere through the day, I grabbed a granola bar or two just to take the edge off. And when I got home at about 10:30 at night, I was tired, I was weary, I was fatigued, I was hungry. And you know what I did? Any guesses what I did? No, I pigged out. I just stuffed myself. And after I got done, I'm sure none of you have ever done that, but after I got done, I evaluated a little bit, and I thought, well, part of it was because I didn't pace myself and eat during the day, and I was just starving when I got home. Another part of it was, I think I was trying to take the edge off some feelings that I'd collected over the weekend and that Monday that were unpleasant. Some of you know that eating food can help numb feelings. I think that was part of it. But I think another part of it was, for me, it was a motive, somewhat of a reward. Kind of like, I worked really hard today. I put in a hard day. I worked, and now I'm going to reward myself by indulging on some not so good for you food. Folks, can I say that I was not glorifying God in my body when I was gorging myself? I was not loving him with all my strength when I was doing that. Plus, I had a food hangover the next morning. How many know what a food hangover is? Yeah. You're like, why did I do that? And you're going, then you have all this regret, and you're like, I feel so full, and I got to go to the gym an extra time this week, and all these things run through your mind. But I wasn't loving God in my body. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6:13, the first part of 6:13 says. For food is for the stomach, and stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. They're temporary. Folks, food is a wonderful gift from God. I thank God every time I have food. It's a gift. And God gave us taste buds so that we can enjoy the different flavors of different kinds of food. It's a gift. It should be enjoyed. But it very easily can be overdone, and we can go too far and abuse food or use it as a crutch for different reasons. Now, that second part of that same verse, 1 Corinthians 6:13, goes on to say, yet the body is not for immorality. Your body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Now, in the context here, immorality meant sexual immorality. And often we think that that only means to intercourse or all the way. But sexual immorality includes sexual involvement or activity with someone who is not your spouse. Other words are fornication, which is sexual involvement or activity with someone else before marriage, which is becoming so popular, not just in the secular world, but among professing Christians, living together and being involved sexually and experimenting before marriage, fornication, but also adultery, sexual involvement or activity outside of marriage, outside of the confines of marriage. And the word sexual immorality comes from the Greek word, immorality there in the Greek, New Testament, is the word porneia, where we get our word pornography. Interesting. So sexual immorality is the selling off of sexual purity and involves any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of a biblically defined marriage. Now, I just want to state that I believe that there are degrees of severity of sexual sin. I don't believe all sexual sin is exactly the same. I believe there's degrees, but I do believe it's all fire. So whether you have a first-degree burn or second-degree burn or third-degree burn, it still burns. It still has consequence. It still has effect. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:18, a couple verses later, it says, flee immorality. Flee sexual immorality. Run from it as fast as you can, because every other sin that a man commits, it's outside the body. But the immoral man, or someone who's involved sexually, sexual sin, sins against his own body. It kind of puts it in a different class, that when you sin sexually, you're sinning against your body or against the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to qualify this, but I also want to state that I don't believe that sexual sin, I believe that sexual sin is rooted in deeper male-female identity issues that have to be explored. I mean, you have to address the sexual part of it, but you also have to address the identity issues underneath that. Now, loving God with all your strength includes glorifying Him with your body. That's the point. Not using your body for anything that's going to harm your body. So, using drugs, consuming too much alcohol, overeating, involvement in sexual immorality, sexual sin, are things that harm your body. And God says, I don't want you to do those things, not because I'm just a rule maker and going to see if you're a rule keeper, but God knows if we do those things, they harm. They do damage. They do damage to us, they do damage to our own bodies, and they do damage to others that we're involved with. And so I want to just insert here that if you've been involved with any of those things, of course there's forgiveness. God delights in forgiving us. But also there's help available. That if you struggle with things in these areas, you don't have to struggle alone and you don't have to struggle in secret. Talk to a friend, a trusted friend. There's so many ministries that are established to help address these issues and these addictions. For example, Celebrate Recovery, which meets every week here on Friday nights, addresses all sorts of hurts and hang-ups and habits, not just alcohol. Celebrate Recovery is there to help explore and help you see freedom for any kind of addiction. Freedom Fighters meets every Tuesday night for men and women, helps address sexual sin and sexual struggle and temptation and addiction. And then there's other courses and classes and support groups and like character development to help you explore your story and your inner world and damage that's been done and how to find healing and other recovery groups like journey groups. There's so much help available. So don't struggle in secret. Everybody struggles. You're not alone. So don't be ashamed to admit you struggle and get help. There's help available. God's heart is to help you find healing. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, by God's mercy I beseech you, I beg you, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And the way it's written there in tense, it's a keep submitting or keep giving God your body and let Him bring healing. So that's the first one. Second aspect of loving God with all your strength, I think, is our strength in our personhood. I'm not sure how to quite explain that, except that every person is unique. You're unique. The real you. There's no one else like you in the entire planet. No one else can be you. No one else can play the role that you play. No one else can represent God the way you represent Him. Your energy, your passion, your drive, what makes you tick. When someone is with you, what do they experience when they're with you? When you walk into a room, what's the experience? What do they taste? That energy or passion or personality, how can you use that to glorify God and to bless other people? Perhaps loving God with all of our strength could also include doing something loving for someone else that requires courage or requires strength to do it, something difficult. So I just want to reiterate how important it is for each of us to understand that we are image bearers, that we bear the image of Almighty God, and God put a stamp of Himself on each one of us, and we reflect Him in a way that nobody else possibly could. Every human being is special and unique and has unique dignity and value. And God loves to shine himself through different kinds of people. Nobody can replace you. There's nobody else that can be you. Now, equally important is to understand and appreciate and recognize and affirm and enjoy everybody else's uniquenesses. You're unique, but so is everybody else. And so when you see someone that's different from you, enjoy the creativity of God, the variety of God, the incredible mind of God that would come up with such kind of diversity. And then affirm people in their value and their dignity. For example, I want to show you a picture that shows God's diversity here. In case you don't know, that's me on the left, and that's my nephew, my brother's son, David, on the right. Look at that. Now, we came from the same gene pool. Go figure. How did that happen? Now, I was privileged to be asked to officiate David's wedding when he married Mary, and I had to stand on a box to be able to see over David so I could talk to the people that were gathered. God is so cool to make us all so different. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I hope you can enjoy your uniqueness, but everybody else's as well. Third aspect of loving God with all your strength, I think, is your natural talents and abilities. What are you naturally good at? I mean, it could be a craft or working with your hands. It could be something relational, or it could be that you're athletic or smart or handy, or you can build things, or you're creative or intuitive. And what do you do occupationally? Most people's occupation is built on something they're good at. I mean, everybody's good at something. And one of the best tools I've ever seen to help us discover our natural abilities and talents is a tool called Strength Finders. You take, it's a bunch of questions, you answer all the questions, and it kind of mixes it all up and feeds it back to you and helps you figure out your top five strengths. And I remember taking mine years ago and then reading the feedback and reading the description of each of the five top for me and going, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, that I think that does describe me. And so if you've never taken Strength Finders, I encourage you to do so. In fact, there's some books at the Connection Center. You can stop and pick up a Strength Finder book that has a link to take the test. But it's a great, great tool. So as you get greater clarity on how you're wired and what your strengths are, then how can you be more intentional to leverage what you're good at or your strengths as a means of loving and serving and honoring God, but also of blessing other people and loving others? Because everybody's good at something. So discover what you're good at and then use it for good. Sometimes we get sideways because we compare. We compare at other people and it looks like they're smarter or better or faster, or, you know, and comparing can get us into a lot of trouble. I remember a few years ago we had Dr. Stuart Briscoe and Dr. Oskinis both speak here on a Sunday morning. They both had a half hour to speak. And they're both incredibly intelligent and brilliant, and both of them got up, didn't have any notes, and just gave eloquent, powerful messages. And I remember sitting over there taking notes and wishing I could push pause. You know, like, I want to stop you because I want to write down what you just said before you say the next thing, because I know I'm going to want to write that down. That's what I was feeling through the whole, both of them. And then when they got, both of them got all done, I was feeling incredibly blessed and discouraged. And I remember my prayer to God was, God, why did you give some people so much and other people so little? That's what I was feeling. And I was thinking, I should never speak again after hearing these two eloquent, brilliant speakers. I should never speak again. And I felt like God just very gently said to me, I already have an Os and I already have a Stuart. You be you, just you be you, and you do the best you can with what I gave you. Even though it's not much, you know, just do the best you can with what you got. And I said, okay, God. And I've been trying to do that. Just do the best with what I got and what's in my toolbox. Now, all of us could have that same struggle when we compare. In fact, in Matthew 25, when Jesus tells this incredible story, parable, about the master that had three different servants, and he gave one servant five talents and one servant two talents and one servant one talent, and the one with five reproduced it and came back and gave the master 10, and the one with two came and gave the master 4, and the one that got one talent went and buried it. Didn't do anything with it. And then came and gave the one talent back to the master when it was reporting day. And the master was so displeased with the one that buried his talent. Now, part of the problem we know with that servant was that he had a misconception of what the master was like, and that caused him to make decisions based on a misperception of what the master or the father was like. That's a problem. But I wonder if part of the problem, I wonder, it doesn't say, but I wonder if he looked at the one with five and go, why even do anything with this one talent? This guy's got five, this guy, you know. What if part of his problem was he compared and then he didn't do anything with the one that he had? So our challenge is to find out what God gave each of us and not compare and then just do the best that we can with what he gave us. Part of loving God with all your strength could include loving him in your profession, honoring him at your job, or whatever you do. I mean, whether you're at leisure or at play or working around the house or you're folding laundry or you're making a meal or you're changing a diaper, you can do all that. Use your strength. You can love God with all your strength. In fact, there's a little verse tucked away in Colossians 3:23. I love it. It says, and whatever you do, whatever you do, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. What a great little verse. Like, hey, whatever you do. You know, if you're out snowmobiling or if you're out golfing, whatever you do it for God. Do it in the name of, use your strength to love him. And then the fourth aspect of loving God with all your strength is spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts. Apart from natural talents and natural abilities that everybody has, that God gave you when you were born, kind of crafted you that way, as a Christ follower that's been born of the Spirit, you've also been given a gift. The Holy Spirit gave you that gift. It's not something that you put in for, you work for, or you earn. It's just the Holy Spirit sovereignly decides to give you a gift when you come to Christ. And it's not your choice. What is your choice is to discover what that gift is and then to use it for the glory of God and the benefit of others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one, every believer has received a gift, so employ it, use it, utilize it, leverage it for others. Each and every believer has at least one, at least. And Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 gives us a list of those gifts. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, we have different functions and roles. So we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we're members of each other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. And he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality and generosity, he who leads with all diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So, what's your gift? Is that clear to you? Right after Easter, there's a class starting up called the Gift Development Class, and in that class, the class is designed to help you discover what your spiritual gift is. It's also, you do the Strength Finder test in that class to help you find your top five strengths. So, if you're not sure what your natural talents and abilities are or your spiritual gift, the gift class, development class, is a great class for you to take. So, let's wrap this up. Loving God with all of our strength starts with desire. Because deep down, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And deep down, the deepest part of you wants to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You want to. There's another part of you that wars against that want to. It's a lesser part of you. It's a weaker part of you. But there's a clash. There's a war. And so we're in a place where we say, Spirit of the living God, would you help me? Would you supernaturally assist me to grow in what it means to love you with all my strength? So I'm going to ask us all now just to pray and ask God to bring clarity in those four areas. So Spirit of the living God, would you fall afresh on each of us? Would you please enable us and empower us to grow in loving you with all of our strength? And to admit when we don't do that, when we don't love you with our strength, when we bury a gift or we bury a talent and we don't use it for your glory, or if we use it for ourselves, or when we don't choose to be ourselves, when we're trying to be somebody else, or trying to be like somebody else instead of us, or when we do things that harm our bodies, that are sinful, that bring damage to us and others. Lord, forgive us for the times and ways that we do things that are harmful, because we know that you are a God of hope and you are a God of healing, and you want to aid us in helping us grow in these areas. You want us to be whole. You want us to be healthy. You want us to be holy. And you want to help us love you with all of our strength, because it not only honors you, but it's best for us. You want what's best for us. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room and everyone that may listen to this in a different form, that you'd help us get clarity on what our strengths are. Natural talents and abilities that you just made part of the package when you put us together. Help us get greater clarity on what those are and help us leverage those talents and strengths for your name's sake and to bless and serve other people. I also pray that you'd give great clarity, Lord, in helping us discover what spiritual gift you've given us and then how we can use it for your glory, how we can use it to edify and bless others, not to showboat ourselves, but to bless you. And Lord, help us to also grow in our clarity about understanding that we're unique and that you made us unique. We don't have to apologize for that. The way you uniquely stamped us and wired us, our personality, help us to love you with that, not apologize for our uniqueness. And oh Lord, help us to grow in loving you with our bodies and to honor you, glorify you with our body, and not do things that are harmful to the temple. Give us grace, strength to take care of ourselves, to exercise and eat right and not do anything that would be harmful. Again, for your name's sake, but also because it's best for us. Let's just take a moment to, would you just pray your own prayer as it relates to loving God with all your strength? Let's just take a moment to each pray our own prayer and what you want to ask God for in this moment.